Blog Talk Radio.
Embrace Today is brought to you by Whole House Ministries. Host Apree Curry will inspire listeners to embrace their today with hope and expectation, with a focus of bringing about freedom, healing, and restoration through the Word of God. John 16:33 says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world."
Good morning and welcome to Embrace Today. I am your host, Apree Curry, and I'll let my co-host introduce himself this morning.
I'm Montrell. Good morning to you all.
And Montrell and I, we have been talking on the topic of relationships and marriage this month. We'll actually be discussing that topic on Embrace Today through the rest of this year. And we have a book that's coming out sometime this year. It's called They Said We Wouldn't Make It. And it's based on our relationship that we started off oh so long ago, back in 94. And it tells of the journey that he and I took going through the through our relationship. We started off going the wrong way, in the wrong direction. However, during that time, we allowed God into our marriage at the time, because we started off in a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship and ended up getting married. And we allow God into our marriage, and we allow God to transform our lives. And so the book is basically our story, our journey through our relationship with each other. And it's a book that is going to encourage other people, whether you are married. The book is encouraging to you to let you know that regardless of what you are going through, if you are with the person that the Lord has for you to be with, if you allow him into your marriage, then he will make your marriage over. He can do whatever. He can do what he did in our marriage to your marriage. If you're thinking about getting married and you started off the wrong way, it gives you hope that you can, even up after the mistakes that you have made, it gives you hope that you can start all over again and allow the Lord into that relationship so that you can allow him to make and mold you into marriage material. If you are single and you're not even in a relationship, however you one day want to get married, the book will encourage you, and it will actually show you some warnings and some things not to do so that you won't make the mistakes that Montrell and I made. And so this month we've been talking about the topic of relationships and marriage, and we're actually going through some of the chapters of the book. We're not giving away everything that's in the book, but we're giving away all the titles of the shows will be either a chapter or a subchapter that's in the book. And we'll talk briefly on those chapters with hope and expectation that when the book comes out that you guys will get the book, and also so that you can receive insight now. You don't have to wait and to read the book to receive freedom, healing, or restoration in your relationship or wherever you are in your life. You can receive that now. And so the hope is, as we're going through this, that you will begin to receive insight from the Holy Spirit so that he can lead you in your relationship or in your marriage, so that he can shine light on any area of darkness that may be in your life or your relationship. I just want to touch on one thing. I received a question that was asking. It was kind of like the person was scared to be in a relationship. I do believe in dating, but you have to make sure that you're dating the right way. So you have to go through the process, and you have to make sure, number one, that you have a relationship with God and that the person that you're dating has a relationship with God. Because if you're coming together and you're both not focused and you're both not grounded, then you're going to be moving without purpose. And so I do believe in dating. However, there's a right way that you should date, and you should allow the Lord to lead you in dating so that if this is the person that you're supposed to be marrying, then it will go the right way. And if it's not, then you'll be able to step out of that relationship. Another question that I got this past week was someone asked if I would do a Q&A on Periscope. And Periscope is something that I do have. However, I've never recorded on it. So we're actually going to be getting into Periscope sometime soon. Periscope is a little bit more unstructured, meaning I can just pop up and want to do a Periscope at any time. So it wouldn't be a set time or a set day. Whenever I feel like I have something that I want to share or that I should share, then I'll do a Periscope. But I'll let you all know once I do that. So if you have Twitter or if you have Periscope, you can connect with us at Epreet Curry. So this morning we're going to talk from the topic of playing house. Marsha, when I say the topic playing house, what comes to mind to you?
A few things come to mind. I can think back to how when we were playing house, when we were younger, we were staying together and you used to cook and we used to be around with the kids. Not saying that you don't cook now, but when I think about playing house, that's what I think about, just the times that we used to spend together as we were courting each other or dating per se, but still almost acting as if we were husband and wife. Another thing that I can remember when we were playing house is the heartache that we caused each other. I can also remember when we wanted to act like we were in it for the long haul, and as soon as something came up, either I was gone or you was kicking me out or you wasn't coming home or I wasn't coming home. And so I remember that a lot too.
Okay. And so when I think of playing house, I go all the way back to when we were kids, not you and I, but kids in general. And house was something that everybody wanted to play. Like, let's play house. You want to play house? And when you have house, you have a mom and a dad. And, you know, sometimes if you have some friends, you got some kids. Or if not, you use your little dolls and stuffed animals. And so you have this picture or idea of what you think marriage should be or what you think should happen inside of a home. And so what I think about in that was just a game as a child, and you would play that game, and then when it's time to go home or go to bed or whatever the case may be, then it's over. And so that's kind of what I think about as adults when we're in that playing house mode. And again, I'm not talking about dating with purpose. I'm talking about just together. When you're in that mode of playing house, you're wandering aimlessly. You're just in a relationship, just going through the motions, you know, going through what you think it looks like or what you want people to think that your relationship looks like, and not having a purpose. You're just moving around. You're just going through the motion, and you look like what you think a marriage should be, but you really don't have that. You're just going through the motions. So to me, it was like when we were in our relationship, although we were boyfriend and girlfriend and even had kids, to me, we were still wandering around aimlessly. We didn't have any purpose. We didn't have any foundation. The only thing that we cared about was each other, what he was doing or what I was doing. Sometimes we cared more about what we were doing than we did about the kids. And our purpose was just all jacked up. Our focus was jacked up. And so when I think about playing house, it's just a game, game in. And in games, there's either a winner or a loser. And so when you are moving toward getting married, if you're in a relationship, or even when you are married, there is no winner or loser. If you win, I win. If you lose, I lose. We are in this together. We have to move forward with purpose. And we have to understand that when those situations come up, like Montrella said, that get hard or, you know, there's just stuff that's just crazy, you can't give up. You have to press through those situations together. And the vows, when it says, till death do us part, that doesn't mean when you get mad you can leave. That means you have to press through some stuff. And oftentimes we don't recognize that when two people are married, like I said last week, they are coming together. They are becoming one. That's a very hard thing to do, for you to become one with someone else. But at the same time, as you're becoming one with someone else, you actually have to grow with that other person and go through the same struggles that that person is going through with them. And so it's not just us being together and being seen together and being called wifey or boo or number one or whatever you're getting called nowadays. It's not about that. It's about moving together with God, with purpose. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. And all that, though what we were doing at that time seemed right to us, it was leading us to death. Although we were living and we were moving, it was a death situation because we weren't growing. We did not have that foundation. We did not have God in our life to strengthen us and propel us. We were going through a spiritual death at the same time. And so when you don't go forward and move toward what God has for you to do in your relationship or in your marriage, even with yourself, prior to even getting in a relationship, you have to make sure that you are right with God, that you know who you are, that you know the plans that he has for you. Because when you come together with that other person, if their goals aren't going, if you're going to God and the other person is going to Satan, that's not going to work. And so you have to make sure that you know what you're getting yourself into. You have to make sure that you understand that this is not a game. This is serious. This is life. And especially if you have children involved. And that leads to my next point, Montreal. Who did it affect in our playing house role or status or whatever we were doing back then? Who did it affect? As we were the ones that were making the decisions, but it didn't only affect us. It affected others. Who do you see that it affected?
It affected our children, that our children grew up in a way where the two oldest ones saw us fighting, they saw us arguing, they saw us just acting like we were having it together, but then they also seen beside the times when we would just get into altercations. And it also affected our family members because when we were doing all of the back and forth, one minute we're mad at each other and we're letting our family members know about it, and then next minute we've made up with each other, but our family members are still kind of mad about whatever the situation may have been. And it wasn't one of those things where they would be mad and like kind of like condemn you or nothing like that. It was just one of those times, some of those times when we would just run back and tell them stuff and they just would be mad for that particular moment. But at the same time, not realizing that even though we've made up, they still may be holding on to it for the simple fact that, of course, if I'm putting my hands on their child, their daughter, then of course they're going to feel some type of way. And if I'm making my family think that she's treating me wrong, of course my family's going to feel some type of way about that.
Yeah, that's good. And when you said that you're making them seem or you're telling your family one thing, a lot of times when we were going through stuff, we would ask someone for our story to make our side seem better, to make them get on our side, to be real mad at the other party. And so what we don't realize is when we involve our family and stuff like that, our family, they love us, you know, for the most part. They love us, and they want to see us grow, and they want to see us, you know, all of our parents or grandparents or whoever raises us, they have dreams for us. They say, when my granddaughter or daughter, son get older, I can imagine them doing X, Y, and Z. So they don't imagine their kid going into an abusive relationship or just going through the motions with a partner, whether it be boyfriend or girlfriend. They don't imagine that for their daughter or their son. Well, they see a picture that's greater and more grand. And so when we're making these decisions for ourselves, when we're making decisions that we think are right for us, but knowing that our parents know that the situation and the decisions that we're making is going to lead to death, and not just a physical death, but a spiritual death, it's all bad. And so they have their feelings and emotions involved in it as well. They may not be physically in your home, but you can just about imagine that they have an emotional bond and connection to it. Another thing that I was thinking of when Montreal was talking is playing house isn't just with boyfriend and girlfriend, because you can be married and be playing house. And I'm going to elaborate on that. Just because a man and a woman are married does not mean that they're moving towards the plans that God has for them, does not mean that God placed them together. It does not mean that they're doing what they're supposed to do. It does not mean that they're operating in their individual roles or operating together the way that they're supposed to be. There are so many people that are married today that's wandering around aimlessly. They're wandering around without purpose. And as soon as something comes up, they're ready to give up and throw in the towel and say that I quit. They're not willing to press through with their husband or with their wife. They're not willing to pray for their husband or their wife. They're not willing to support their husband or their wife. They're not willing to operate in that role because they don't know, number one, what the role is. And so we have to get to the place to where even if we are married, and regardless of if someone has been married for years, just because someone has been married for years does not mean that they're moving in the direction that God has for them to move in. If God is not the foundation of your marriage, if God is not in your marriage, if God is not moving you in your marriage, then it is not, it's a game. It's, you're just playing. You're just going through the motions that you want to go through. But the Lord has to lead you and guide you. And I'm not saying that your marriage will be perfect, because Montreal and my marriage is by far perfect. We go through some stuff, and it's really hard to continue to press. You have to press and press, and it seems like every situation you have to press harder, because marriage is for us to be united. And the thief comes only but to kill, steal, and destroy. So what he wants to do is divide that thing that God has placed together, that thing that God has bound together, has woven together, that thing that God is making into one. The devil wants to divide that, and so many of us are allowing him into our homes. We're allowing him to take control of our minds. We're allowing him to take control of what God has put together and tear it apart. But that's not the part of the game that we're supposed to be playing. We aren't supposed to be pressing through and pushing. And it's not easy. Sometimes you'll have to cry. Sometimes you'll feel like you're alone. Sometimes, I talked about a couple weeks ago, you have to have someone that you can go to that support your marriage, that's going to pray for you, that's going to tell you the truth, that will listen to you. Sometimes you have to go to that friend to let it all out so you don't explode. It's not saying that you will have the perfect marriage or the perfect relationship, but it's saying that you are allowing God to do what he is going to do in your life and in your marriage. It's saying that it is no longer about me, but we submit to God in our lives. And so I wanted to make sure that everyone understood that playing house is just not a role boyfriend and girlfriend play. This can also be for husbands and wives. And so we have to also understand that we were married before I even knew what a wife was. And when I found out, I was like, oh, no, he's not getting ready to be telling me what to do. You know, I was just like, oh, no, I can make my own money. I can do this by myself. I can do that. I can do that. And true enough, I can. However, going into it, number one, I was looking at it all wrong. I had the wrong perspective. Number two, going in it with that type of attitude, nothing was going to change. And so, Montreal, even talking on that subject with me having that type of attitude as a wife, I was already your wife, you know, I had that type of attitude. How did it make it harder for you, even today, because there's still some stuff that I resist today. So how does it make it hard for you as a husband to function in the role that God has placed you in as provider, as head of this household, as leader, as a priest of this home? How have I made it harder for you?
Well, before I go to that, just let me say, in regards to you working, you've never really had to work. I just thought,
Oh my gosh.
But in regards to you having that type of mentality, it was hard, and sometimes it still is hard for a simple fact that, I mean, if you get right down to it, we all like to be in control of our situations. And when you're in a marriage or when you're married and you have the wife that has to submit to her husband, if the husband isn't submitting to God, then it's hard for the wife to be able to submit to the husband, because there are going to be times when she may not trust the decisions that you're going to make as a husband. And I've experienced that. Sometimes I may not have always made the right choice, and I may have kind of leaned on my own understanding, which has gotten me into situations where my wife is looking at me sideways, like, what is you doing? But it's understandable, because if I'm not being led by the Holy Spirit, and if I'm not following after Christ, or as the lady in War Room said, chasing after Jesus, then I'm not going to have my wife, who she's not going to be willingly submit to the things that I have us to do. So one thing that us as husbands, we have to do is we have to make sure that we are chasing after Jesus. We have to make sure that we're leading in a way that our families are going to be successful in all that we do. And, yeah, there will come times when, even when you are chasing after Jesus, that she may not, your wife may not fully understand. But you can get your family, you can get your wife and your children to do anything that you need them to do, if you present it in a way that will be loving and that will be caring and that will show that you have their best interest. But if you start just going around just trying to say, this is what we're doing and that's it, then that's probably not going to fly. So you got to make sure, you're presenting it in a way to where you make them buy into it, you make them back into it, you make them believe in what you're trying to move them towards, so that you won't have any resistance coming from your wife or your children.
That's good. But I have to say, for wives and girlfriends and wives-to-be, just because your husband is not submitting to God, or boyfriend or whoever, just because he is not submitting to God does not give you the right to not submit to him. Because the Word of God does not say, wives, submit to your husband if he is submitting to God. It does not say that. It tells us to submit to our husband. And when we're submitting to our husband, that doesn't mean that he is just controlling our every move like we are a puppet. It means that we are coming together under the mission that God has given him for our family. We are coming together and doing what we are supposed to do. So even if you don't think that your husband is doing what he's supposed to do, you're still supposed to do what the Word of God says. And I'm not saying that it's easy, because I don't have an A-plus in that area. I'm working towards it. I might be like a C-plus-ish. C-plus-ish? Am I in that C-plus zone?
No. Move on.
So I'm working towards it, but it's hard, because in my issue, I don't know, we may not have the same issue, but my issue is I like to know what's going on. I like to have everything ready. I like to make sure, like, for example, it was just everything in me was cringing when we didn't have this set up 10 minutes before the show starts. I like everything set up, me on the line, so that in 10 minutes I could just go. It was just cringing. I was cringing on the inside with him moseying around the house. Like, we don't have anything to do. I didn't say anything, but I was cringing.
But, you know, the funny thing is, I know my wife so well that when I came out of the garage back into the house and I seen her poking her head around that door, I already knew. She was like, well, come on, would you hurry up? Because she know that I'm a procrastinator.
Yes. So, and he's moving so slow. So things like that, for me, I like to have everything prepared. And that's kind of like, that's what I was talking about with becoming one. I have my way of doing things. He has his way of doing things. But even us coming together doing the show, we have to come together. You know, we have to become one in doing this. The ministry that he and I have together is building. It's with each other, and it's building marriages. It's helping with relationships. It's doing all of that. And so we can't do that if we're divided. And what God has placed in us, we have to do it together. Like, we don't have an option, because God's purpose is for us to do it together. And so I can't go off on my own and say, well, he's too slow, or he's not doing what I want to do, so I'm going by myself. No, it comes with a package. And so we have to make sure that we're coming together to do what God has called for us to do. Now, there are some things in ministry that we do separate. Like, there's a ton of things that we do separate. But for this particular thing, with relationships and with marriage, God has us doing this together. And so we have to make sure that we are coming under that mission. A lot of women, when they hear submission, they just think that the husband is supposed to just be ruling them. And then some husbands even think that that's the case, but it's not, you know. And so that's why we have to make sure that we have that relationship with God. We have to make sure that we are coming together. We have never done this, but I strongly want to do this. I believe that we will do this. I told Montrell that when we retire, we're going to buy some land so we can do marriage retreats, but he said no. but I think we'll do it. But I want us to, I want to go on a marriage retreat. I think that you should get away with your husband sometime, just you and him, you know, talk about your goals, your purposes, what you have accomplished. You know, there's things that when husband and wife get together on one accord, there's things that happen that don't happen when you're surrounded by other people. You don't have to go necessarily go to a retreat center. You can go wherever you like, but I like to be in the nature, like away from everything. And so, and talking about that, we're going to go ahead and go towards our ending. But Montrell, when we decided that we were done playing games, when the game was over, what did that look like? What do you think that looked like to you?
When the game was over, as in?
The playing house. So when we stopped playing games and when we were serious and when we wanted to take our relationship to the next level, when we wanted to invite God in, what did that look like? Was it easy?
No, it wasn't easy at all, because initially when we first started, she was all in. I mean, she was on fire for the Lord, and I was still trying to drink and play cards on the weekend.
He was trying to peer pressure me.
So it was one of those things where I realized that, okay, things have changed, and I need to change as well. I mean, we've been doing the same thing for so long. It's time for a change. It's time for me to actually seek out what my purpose is as a human being on this earth. So then as time went on, I started changing as well. And anybody that knows me well, they know that the reason why I got into church and why I got into speaking a relationship with the Lord was because of my wife. I didn't do it because I wanted to. I did it because I was realizing that she would want me to go to church and all of that other good stuff. And like I said, initially, I wasn't really on it. I was just kind of going through the motions. And then as I start seeing her actually making genuine changes, that's when I said, well, you know what? I ain't going to be able to remain in the same times, so I'm going to become extinct if I don't change. So then that's what made me realize that I had to step up and start being the head of the household like God has called me to be.
So with that, what you just said, and there's a scripture that talks about it. I believe it's in Corinthians, was saying that, and these aren't the exact words, but saying that by a wife's action or a husband's action, they can their actions will be able to inspire their unbelieving spouse. And so that takes me to this. Number one, Montrell said that my actions, or he didn't really want to do it, he was just doing it because I was doing it. But by my actions and my transformation, and I'm not at all saying that I'm this perfect person or anything like that, but it drew him to God. And so we can't change our spouses. We can't change them. It has to be done on their own. They have to be willing. All I knew is that I needed a change in my life. That was all that I knew, and I wanted to change. And we'll talk about that in a different chapter, because it's a whole chapter on why and how we change. But we have to make sure that we understand that we cannot change our spouse, and so we have to make sure that we are doing what we are doing because we're supposed to. We're not just in it. We can't be in a relationship with someone and try to make them, you know, live for God, because that's what we do, and we want them to be our husband or we want them to be our wife. We have to make sure that we are doing what we're supposed to be doing, that we're aligned with the Holy Spirit and allowing him to take us through the relationship process, through the marriage process. And even when you get married, the Lord has to be the foundation of your marriage. If he's not, it will not work. You may be together, and you may be together for years, but it will not last if the Lord is not the foundation of your marriage. Like Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. And so this will conclude this morning's show. I'm going to ask Montrell to close us out in prayer. I pray that you are blessed. And if you have any questions, you can send me a Facebook, Twitter, text if you have that, or you can get with us at wholehouseministries.org or on the Facebook or Twitter page. Or Instagram, or LinkedIn.
Or Periscope.
Or Periscope. All right, let's pray.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your grace, your love, your mercy, your peace. Lord, I ask that whoever may be listening in on this, Lord, that you touch their lives, Lord, that you touch their marriages, that you touch their relationships, and that you just heal them, Lord. Lord, I ask that you keep them encouraged and that you have them to continue to move and press forward, Lord, in a way that is pleasing to you. Lord, despite the things that we may go through, Lord, we know that you're almighty and you're all powerful, and we just thank you for the abilities. We thank you for the grace. We thank you for the love that you put within us to show to our spouses. And we just ask that you continue to be with us, leading and guide us through all that we do. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.